Somebody know where we're going to be tonight? All right, Derek's a smart aleck. Yeah, Revelation, not so much. We're going to John. John 2. All right, so what did we talk about last week? Jesus, thanks. That's the youth pastor's wife, for anybody who wonders. She's got the Sunday school answer down. Wait, notes? Who takes notes?
I take notes every time you preach.
Oh. What? Your own Bible?
What? Like, I didn't bring it before.
You mean, like, we shouldn't need these things in the chairs because everybody brings their own? So if we bring our own Bible, we can make notes in the Bible, and then we have them forever?
I've had this for 5 years.
Unless you're like me and you get a new Bible every month, but that's a whole other story. It's about what I'm ravaging right now. Why? Because I give them away. I've gone through, I think, 8 in the last year. Bibles. That's good. See, that's why this one came in yesterday. It's brand new.
Oh, it's pretty.
It does.
Didn't you give yours to
the silver on it? Mine's cool.
Who did you give yours to?
Which time? I'm telling you, I've given away 8 in the last year. Actually, I think more. I don't know either. I gave one last Wednesday and a Wednesday before that, and yeah. Christian?
I got an answer.
You have an answer to what?
Oh, continue
to turn others to Jesus, not us. Okay, I'm glad somebody was paying attention. So, John 2 this week, starting in verse 1. Okay, that's where we're going to be. John 2, verse 1.
Word.
Oh, yeah. And I'm supposed to know how? The chapter after the one we finished last week. Okay. Starting in verse 1. So, this is where things, for me, start to get fun. Okay, again, we're talking about Jesus is who. It's about trying to really build that personal relationship, find out really who he is, not just things about him. And this is when Jesus really starts to kind of come onto the scene instead of just hiding off in private a little bit. So, John 2, verse 1. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." Verse 4. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied, "my time has not yet come." Don't we do that frequently as just people in general? Not even just Christians, just people in general. It's like, hey, that's not my problem. When maybe we would have the answer. All right, so verse 5. "But his mother told the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Standing nearby, there were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' When the jars had been filled, he said, 'Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies.' So the servants followed his instructions." I'm going to stop there for just a second. So there's this wedding going on. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples are all invited. So obviously, it's probably like a close friend. And for some reason, Jesus' mom decides this is when it's time for Jesus to kind of come on the scene. And nobody really knew who he was at this time, but Jesus' mother, who remembers all the great signs that came you know, hey, you're going to be pregnant by a virgin, and then here show up shepherds and wise men and all the great miracles that happened in the birth of Jesus, so she knows he's God. And so they run out of wine. Now, let me explain something to you. A Jewish wedding normally started on a Wednesday, and it lasted for about a week. 7 days of like a constant party. This wedding, this week, was usually about the best week of this couple's life. And it ended with them being paraded through the city. Like, they took the longest route possible going through the city. Okay, instead of like, hey, if I'm going from the front of the room to the back of the room, I can just walk back there and be done. No, they would zigzag through the city so that everybody could, you know, give praises and cheers and give them gifts and all that kind of stuff. Wine at a wedding was like a must-have. Like, you have to have a bride, you have to have a groom, and you have to have wine. That's how that kind of worked. It was like symbolized joy. The groom and his family paid for the wedding, unlike in today's customs. But for the groom to not provide enough wine was like a bad omen. It was one of these things where basically the wife's or the bride's family would then look at him and say, he can't even provide wine at the wedding. How's he going to provide for our daughter for the rest of her life? And they could even take it so far after that if they wanted to and actually sue the groom and his family for not providing enough wine. So, there's not enough wine. I kind of think that the family member that Jesus and his mother and disciples knew was probably the groom, which is why Mary's mom's going, they've run out of wine. You need to do something now. So, his mom says, they got no more wine. Jesus looked at his mom and says, dear woman, now first of all, do not go home and call your mom woman. You're liable to get your face slapped, mouth washed out with soap, something of that nature. This is one of those times where this word in the English language is not really the greatest translation. This is more like ma'am, kind of. Or if you're like a really old-fashioned southern kind of person, like m'lady. Okay, this is like a real deal term of endearment. It's not like, listen here, woman. Okay, that's not how that works. Okay, don't go home and be like, woman. And when your mom gets mad, be like, Jesus said it, I'm good. Not what Aaron said, okay? The recording is there. That's not what I said. The parents can hear it, okay? So don't go do this. So Jesus tells his mom, he says, dear woman, that's not our problem. He says, my time has not yet come. So in his thought process, he's like, it's not time for me to, like, actually go onto the public scene and start my ministry. Jesus' mom's so smart. She says, looks at the servant, she says, do whatever he tells you. Literally looks at the servants and says, I know he just told me no, but y'all do what he says anyways. Which is one of those real sneaky methods of Jesus saying to, or Jesus' mom saying to Jesus, your mama said, you will do. That's basically how it's going on. She's like, he's going to tell you what to do, so go ahead and do it. So what does Jesus do? As an adult man, what does he do? Exactly what his mom says. So, from birth until death, she is still your mother, and you will still obey her. Okay, Jesus did it. There's your example. Okay, don't call her woman. Obey your parents. Okay, but here's what I really want us to grasp out of this. It says, do whatever he tells you. What if we took that attitude to Jesus all the time? Just do whatever he tells you. Instead of trying to find all the ins and outs of this, that, and the other, doing what we want to do, what if we just did whatever Jesus told us? Wouldn't that make life so much simpler? Would it? He did. They're right here.
I know. It was like,
but just do it. It's a trick question. There's no guarantee it's going to be easier, but it's likely that it will be better in the long run. Anyways, so going down to verse 9, it says, when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. The host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you've kept the best till now. So basically, here's how these things went on. Obviously, 7 days. So they bring out the good wine. So everybody, like, gets to taste it, and they're like, oh, this is good. And by the time they're, like, drunk, then he brings out the crappy wine, and so nobody actually knows that they're drinking. So that way it's cheaper. Okay? And he's like, no, that's not what happened. Y'all brought out the okay wine and saved the best for last. Nobody does this. He was, like, shocked by this. Okay? So, 11 says, this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. So, Jesus makes, like, 120 gallons of wine here, right? Roughly, somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of wine. Why in the world would he make so much wine for a wedding? Yeah, let me put it like this. There is no way any wedding on the planet's going to drink that much. Like, that is a lot of wine. No. Yeah, to show what he could do. Isn't that how Jesus actually works and things? He always wants to give in abundance. So, here's the miracle. Now, there were two miracles at my wedding, okay? The first one that Emily said yes, that was the first one. The second one is that Aaron actually showed up. Because, see, here's the thing. First of all, I hate weddings. Like, they're boring. What? My wife is being mean. It was my wedding. Ask my wife, did I want to be there?
No.
No. I wouldn't have been there. Like, if there was a way for me to, like, Skype in for, like, the 3 seconds, be like, I do, like, I would have been there. I'm all in. So, realistically, like, sitting here trying to process this whole thing, I'm like, here I am, like, old, and she's not, and I'm trying to process, well, I'm seriously about to be tied to one woman for the rest of my life. Is this really the right one? Do I even want one woman? Oh, my gosh. And I know her family, and they're scary. So, I was having serious issues. Now, that was only half of my issues. The other half of my issues, I was really still drunk from my bachelor party. But that's a whole other story. But it really was like half a miracle that I actually showed up. And so then I showed up, and I'm kind of standing there, and we had all kinds of other issues. Like, let me give you a hint. When you plan your wedding, things will go wrong. Like, Emily's cake was wrong, the DJ was an idiot, one of my groomsmen didn't show up, and that's just for starters, okay? So, things are going to go bad, but the worst thing that could happen is, like, me not showing up, which might almost happen. But yeah, so then Emily says yes. So, in this wedding here, everybody shows up, and everything seems to be going okay because we're not told any otherwise, but then they run out of wine. Well, Jesus is like, hey, y'all probably need like 20 gallons of wine to get you to the wedding. Here's 120. So Jesus does things. He always does things in abundance, in excess. But here's what probably would have happened. This is how Jesus blesses us. Word's going to get around of how good this wine is, and people are going to want some. So not only is the wedding going to finish, but they're probably going to be able to leave and sell this wine and live off of it for about a year. And so he's just provided for this family for a year. Like, I wish somebody would have showed up at my wedding and been like, hey, here's 20 grand, live off this for a year. I would have been so set. Instead, somebody said, hey, here's 20 grand, and Emily said, I'm going to spend it all on a one-day wedding. Okay. I'm not getting dirty looks. Just a hint for all you girls, that little one-hour party is not worth $10,000 or $20,000, okay? Now, I know, Emily's giving me dirty looks. It's really not, okay? Here's, random side note, here's what I'm offering Karis, real deal. You can have $10,000 for a wedding or $10,000 cash for a house. Your choice. Yeah, see.
If I got that option, I would have chosen.
No. Emily wanted this wedding. Her dad gave her a budget. She would, like, budget was here. Emily was here.
She maybe gave my mom a budget.
Whatever. Almost. Almost. It was redonkulous. My part of the wedding was $200. My cake and my tux, $200. Oh, yeah, the rehearsal dinner, that was maybe another $200. It's like $400 out of like $20,000. Okay. Emily's dress was $400. That's it.
That's cheap. That's extremely cheap.
Yeah. She spent it all on other stuff. We have fans. There's still one in my car. It is my last name spelled wrong. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, things are going to go wrong. Just, and that's why you're going to build it up to be this big, amazing day. You've got this scrapbook at home of all this stuff. I want this dress and this place and this thing. And things are going to go wrong and you're going to laugh about it for years to come, or you can just go buy a house. So, anyways, random total side note. Emily's going to beat me up for all that later. But it is all funny now. So, before I get asked like 500 questions about this, I'm going to go ahead and address this topic because I know somebody's going to go here. Jesus made wine so it's okay to drink, right? Right?
Yes.
So, I love it. Everybody's like, I don't know. I'm in church. The answer is no. Okay. Here's the thing. This is the best answer I've ever heard to that question. I drink as much as I want to. And I don't want to drink that much. See, because here's the thing. Biblically, we're told not to be stumbling blocks. So if y'all see me sitting out at the bar hammering back shots, what are you going to think?
It's okay.
It's okay to hammer back shots. Say, Tristan's, leaving churches. I just told you I was completely smashed at my bachelor party, and you're leaving churches now. Okay. I really was. So, random funny story. Yeah, that was a long time ago, a whole different life, but random funny story. So we had to have this wedding like super duper far away because that's where Emily wanted it. And so I'm riding with her parents down to the rehearsal dinner because I can't drive.
You were sick.
Yeah, I was sick. So I'm sitting in the car, like in the back seat, and her dad's driving, her mom's in the passenger seat, and I'm just like, oh, no, she wasn't. So I'm just like, oh. And so her mom keeps asking, Aaron, you sure you're okay? I was like, yeah, my stomach just hurts. Her dad, who used to drink like crazy, he knows totally what's going on. He totally understands. He's on board. He's like, Aaron's so trash. He has no idea what's going on. Her mom, up until like 2 years ago, seriously thought I was just sick. She had no idea that I was, at that moment, probably still drunk. Like, at the rehearsal dinner, I didn't eat because I was hungover. It was awesome. Not really, okay? Lifetime ago, but yeah. It was probably about 2 years ago. We finally were like, oh, by the way, yeah, I was drunk, not sick. Oh, yeah, she was super mad.
Yeah, like, they turned off all their phones.
We were talking about your mom, not you.
Oh,
yeah, other side note for you girls, the guy doesn't want to see you at his bachelor party. It is. That's the funny part. So, really, Emily and I's like first year together is like this unbelievable laughing joke thing at this point. And we'll tell you one of these days. Not for tonight, because I really do have to get through this message. The thing about it is, like I said, if I'm sitting at a bar hammering back shots, y'all are going to want to sit and hammer back shots. The other part of this picture is the Bible says obey the laws of the land, which means what?
Can't drink till you're 21.
You can't drink till you're 21. Okay? Let me give you another piece of this puzzle real quick. Okay? Give me that slide. First Corinthians 6:12. It says, you say, I'm allowed to do anything. Okay? So can you drink?
Yes.
Okay. But not everything is good for you. For those of you that haven't been, and none of you should have been because none of you are 21, okay? Drinking too much is not good for you. Okay? And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So if you've got to get up in the morning and have that drink, that's a problem. So can you drink biblically?
Yes.
That decision's up to you. What I can tell you is you're not supposed to do it in excess. You're not supposed to become enslaved to it. And you're not supposed to cause other people to stumble. So if you can check all of those boxes, oh, and by the way, be 21 years old. So, yeah, there's three of us in the room that can check that box. Thanks. Yet, no. If you can check all those boxes, it's on you, okay? Drink as much as you want to. What?
Can't you, like, drink if your parents are with you, like, at your house?
Yeah.
At your house. If you can check all the other boxes. Okay?
Home.
So, that's the end of that. We can have a much longer discussion about it at some point, and we'll go into it, but not tonight. So, down to verse 13. Here's Jesus' second, like, movement onto the public scene, I guess. It says, it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. So Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then, going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures, "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the leaders demanded, What are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It's taken 40 years to build this temple and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. So three times in this passage, we have something as far as the disciples believed or remembered. Okay? Jesus shows up. They're selling goats and doves and all that kind of stuff in the temple. Okay? When you came to Passover, you were supposed to bring an animal for the sacrifice. If you were within 15 miles of Jerusalem, you were required by law to show up. You really don't want to bring a whole bunch of animals on that journey. If you were outside the 15 miles, you were encouraged to come. You really don't want to bring animals on that long. So what they would do is they would show up and they would buy a sacrifice. They were overcharging for the sacrifice. You know, if a normal lamb costs 100 pieces of silver, they'd be charging like 300. Okay, so Jesus is pissed off about this. The other thing that would go on is there were certain people inside the Jewish sect that were charged with inspecting the animals to make sure that they were pure. And so even if people brought their own animal, they would inspect them and be like, oh, there's a flaw behind that ear. Sorry, you've got to buy this one. And so now they're getting screwed twice. So there's the animal part. The other part is if you came from out of town, you had to bring what they called a temple shekel. That was what your tithe and whatnot was given with. If you didn't have that, you would have to exchange it. Well, they were charging insane rates for the change there. And so they turned the temple, the house of worship, into a business. And Jesus is like, that's not what this is for. That's not your purpose here. So he gets a little upset and starts running around with a whip. It doesn't say he hit anybody, so it's all good. Abuse is not legal. But he did get kind of mad and, like, run people out of the temple. So then the Jewish leaders said, why are you doing this? What authority are you given? He says, if you tear down this temple, meaning my body, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And they totally don't get it. They're totally lost. Like, what in the world are you talking about? It's taken us 40 years to get this done. Somehow you're going to do it in 3 days. Again, Jesus is not talking about construction of a temple, but instead he's talking about resurrection of his own body. So this is Jesus kind of breaking onto the scene. This is like his shot on like the voice saying, hey, welcome Jerusalem, I'm here. Shows up at a wedding, it's kind of semi-private, makes some wine, makes some people happy, and then shows up at the temple and gets kind of mad, pisses everybody off, runs them out of the temple, and kind of cleanses the house. He's like, I want you guys to remember, this house is a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house of study, not a house of business. Okay? We're all good? All right. We're going to break off into our small groups, run through those questions. Go ahead at the end of your time and run through your take five time. We still want to hear about the time, the stories and the things where we're actually telling people about Jesus. Okay, I love hearing these stories of people telling me, most of my friends don't go to church. That sounds like the perfect people to invite to church. Then kiss them and invite them. Oh, okay. No, really, don't do that. No. Yeah, anytime. Hey, whatever. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so, like I said, we still want to hear your stories about you inviting people to Jesus. If there's somebody that you haven't done it yet, but maybe you're thinking about, you're praying about, then let us pray with you in this process. That's our mission, to go and make disciples. We're here learning about Jesus so we can give it to other people, okay? We don't need to keep this to ourselves. All right, so off into your groups. Girls, y'all are all going to meet together with Emily and Emily, E squared, Emily and Emily 2.0, Emily and Emily Jr. or something. Don't say anything too bad about me and stuff.